the HTB podcast. Subscribe now so you don't miss future episodes.
Hello, and welcome to the latest AHGB Potatoes podcast. This podcast is going to discuss the relationship between irrigation practices used in potato growing and how developing a model of best practice can minimise soil erosion and mitigate pollution risks. Today, we have Nigel Simpson, who is a River Basin Coordinator for Catchment Sensitive Farming in East Anglia, and he is joining me on this podcast, and he's going to discuss the environmental aspects of water and crop management when growing potatoes. Hello, and a warm welcome to you, Nigel. If I can ask you first about your role and explain the role of the Catchment Sensitive Farming Initiative and their objectives.
Okay, well, we try and give advice, training and grants to farmers and other land managers. So basically, we are looking at improving, where necessary, our water quality, our air quality, and reducing the risk of flooding. But all of that water, as it were, needs managing through what we do on the land. So we are able to look at all the inputs that farmers apply other than seed, because they're all soluble in water. And therefore, they can potentially cause deteriorations in water quality. And we're looking, therefore, to maximise efficiency so that we reduce those losses to the environment, because they present both an economic loss and an off-site loss. In other words, people have to then clean up the water, or we have to live with the deleterious effect, the things that actually cause problems for wildlife and or human health, or in other ways are going to impact on our well-being and our environment. So essentially what we're trying to do is effectively keep things to be as clean as possible in terms of water quality, the air as clean as possible, particularly in reducing ammonia losses, which can come from fertilizers and manures. And we're looking essentially also to reduce nitrates and phosphates and sediments, particularly in water, with a view to ensuring that we then don't have to take them out again. So there's a whole range of effects that they can have. You can get what's called algal blooms when you get phosphate in the water, and obviously phosphate is very important for potatoes, and for it's an essential element for our own well-being. And essentially that in water is the most limiting resource in fresh water, and therefore it can cause algal blooms where you get algae that then die at the end of the summer and the autumn, and in so doing reduce the dissolved oxygen in the water, and that can then threaten fish in terms of their ability to breathe, not to mention smothers any subaquatic or undersurface plants and wildlife. So essentially it's trying to make sure that we are able to farm to best effect, really, so that we're not either just focused on either food production or water. In other words, we're trying to get a balance, because essentially we can't import all our food and we can't import all our water, and we have to make an economic balance between the two.
Lovely. Potatoes are prone to soil and water related problems, but they can be managed and minimised. So talking about soil erosion and nutrient leaching as two areas of focus, what can be done to understand the nature and effects of diffuse pollution when growing a potato crop?
Obviously, we all need soil to grow potatoes, and essentially that soil will have within it nitrates and phosphates, and it will be potential for us to lose sediment either through direct runoff through the drains, turbid flow as it's sometimes called, or in other ways to the point where we can see the soil lost from the field. And in so doing, that erosion, and there's believed to be roughly 1 million hectares of land nationally that erodes, roughly 1 in 10 potato fields, they will potentially lose something like 2.9 million tonnes per year of soil, not just from the fields, but also from tracks, road verges and elsewhere, watercourses themselves. And in so doing, that blocks up ditches and dikes and so on, and then you end up with needing to clean them out or pay the internal drainage boards to clean them out, and in so doing adds to our own costs, not to mention the need for maintenance, not to mention the need for, as it were, trying to avoid causing losses to wildlife again, because every time you dredge, you will also take with it the vegetation and or other wildlife that's pertinent. So all of these things are undesirable if we can avoid them. And that's what we're trying to do, prevent rather than cure. We can cure for some things, but by the same token, it's cheaper to prevent.
We realise that there is no quick fix when it comes to water management and risk-related use of irrigation and diffuse pollution. So what are the key elements to consider when looking at planting a potato crop and the application of processes throughout the growing season?
Well, we're trying to manage risk, essentially, because at the end of the day, if for any reason we can't either harvest the potatoes as we might wish, or we cause long-term damage to our soils and fields, we are impairing their capacity to grow crops in future, not to mention the fact we wish to maximise the economic returns and yield. And thereby, if we can then show that we've got efficient production, we will hopefully ensure that we make a profit. Obviously, the marketing of the potatoes and the markets for the potatoes will dictate how much profit, not to mention the year and other factors in that equation. But essentially, it's within the grower's control to try to use the resources they've got to best effect. And in so doing, we are trying to take away constraints where we can, so that we need to look for things like compaction. And the University of Cambridge, CUPGRA, years ago looked at this, and of some 602 fields that they looked at, 2/3 of them had significant compaction in them in relation to potato crops that were growing. And if you take it that they were losing something like 10% of yield on a 44 ton per hectare yield, that would be 4 tons or more of hectare loss of yield. So that's one of the key factors to look at in this equation. Over and beyond that, we are looking also to try to manage the erosion, as we've already talked about, and also reduce organic matter losses. Soil organic matter is key to both holding moisture and to holding nutrients. And given that we use lots of cultivations to grow a potato crop, we potentially are going to see a reduction in the organic matter, which then will link to both losses of moisture, more cracked ridges, more greening, as well as links to the fact that we don't retain those nutrients. So you've potentially spent money on fertilizers and manures that will end up down the drain, literally. So essentially, we need to dig down to 55 centimeters before the crop is grown or before we take on rented land and look to see what the soil structure is looking like. We then will hopefully turn that into a plan for action. And then we then hopefully have got the right kit on the right day, because timeliness is absolutely critical. And it's sometimes better to wait a few days rather than just to go on regardless. And if we can then, having looked at the soil textures, which will determine things like water holding capacity for irrigation, look at the slope, look at the drainage, look at the likely rooting depth, and even consider whether we need to go cover crops prior to the potatoes to help us with ensuring that we get the best retention of nutrients and or tilth prior to growing the crop, then we will then hopefully be able to get the best out of that crop when we do grow it. And in the end, all these things are related. So essentially, we're trying to use our skills as soil managers to ensure that we are going to effectively take the resources we've got and turn them into something that we would wish for in terms of marketable yield. In terms of reducing erosion, we can do what's called tramline management. We can reduce losses by breaking that connectivity between slopes and what the water courses or the receptors, the roads and so on around might take away. We can look at how we use countryside stewardship, either in the rotation and or in the actual fields where we're going to grow these crops. We can use best practice so that we reduce risks where we can with a soil management plan, by cultivating across the slope, by the whole range of techniques to tire machinery choices, drainage management, reduction of compaction, as I've said already, and try to effectively turn what we've got into something that is going to reduce the hassle. And that's what this is all about. It's trying to actually make sure that we don't have unforeseen consequences, because they will then, as it were, make life harder.
Lovely. Are there any schemes and grants available to support potato growers?
Yes, is the short answer, in that the Farming is Changing leaflet that was distributed with Farmers Weekly some months back, December time, is a useful reference, with the back pages to that on pages 22, 23, 24 and 25. There is a summary of all the new schemes that are relevant to farmers, and thereby it's well worth looking out. If you haven't got a copy, you can look it up on the internet, and that will talk about things that are yet to be announced, when an application windows and so on and so forth. So that's all pertinent. Over and beyond that, in the meantime, we also have the Countryside Stewardship scheme, which will potentially help people with both field options, and they can range from cover crops, which can pay £114 per hectare, to those people within nitrate vulnerable zones or on land which is susceptible to erosion, and or we try to minimize those losses, as I've said already, right the way through to relocating gateways and a whole range of things which are available only in what's called high water priority areas. And for catchment sensitive farming is targeted at those countryside stewardship high water priority areas. And if you go onto the website, which is run by the government in terms of MAGIC, so www.magic.gov.uk, then you can, as it were, switch on the CS targeting layer, look at where your farm and land is, zoom in and see what is the colour that you see. You can move a slider to see the transparency and also see the ordnance survey underneath. If it's red, then you're in an area where you're entitled to both CSF, catchment sensitive farming, advice and support, and or the relevant grants available under the Countryside Stewardship Scheme, which require the approval of a catchment sensitive farming officer. If it's yellow, at the moment, you will not be entitled to current support, but we're hoping very soon to be able to look to change that. And that hopefully will be something we can do from the 1st of April 2022, but we are awaiting an announcement.
Using the CF model, can we talk about the real benefits for potato growers who follow this? And what, in your view, are the first steps when discussing this with a potato grower?
Okay, well, what we're trying to do is essentially help people with best practice. Now, we have a range of specialist visits that are available to help people, insofar as we are looking to ensure that people get the help they need. So, for example, if you wanted to look at replacement of your machinery, then we can offer a visit that would help you with that. If you're looking to maximize your fertilizer efficiency, we can do a nutrient management plan. If you wanted to improve your manure use, again, we can link that to both analyses of manures and slurries, and then provide you with an integrated plan which will take on board the values of those manures with a view to trying to maximize the economic benefit, but also the integrate with your fertilizer usage. Over and beyond all that, we can look at how we could work in your yards, both in terms of what's called concrete yard renewal, the drainage and the receptors, so that we do minimize losses to the environment. We can look at a whole range of other best practice in terms of maximizing use of stewardship schemes. We can look at how we would translate our plans for the business into looking before we leap by taking specialist advice from engineers. We also do what's called water resource audits. We do air quality visits. We do a whole range of things so that hopefully we can meet your needs with that range of advice visits. If you'd like to see where you get this advice from and to talk to a local catchment sanitary farming officer, if you go to the www.gov.uk website and type in CSFO, you can then find the name of your local catchment sanitary farming officer and then get in touch with them and see what they can do with you. It's not for you, it's with you.
Have you seen an uptake in more modern types of irrigation in the area that you cover?
I used to give a lot of irrigation advice when I worked for ADAS in a previous role. We used to specify, using irrigation scheduling, how people might improve their use of the water supply that they had got relative to the weather, relative to the depth of the crop, not to mention prioritize according to variety, according to a whole range of factors. The soils vary across a field and the stoniness varies, so that we would then ensure that the crop was always supplied with enough water, either for quality in terms of helping to reduce common scab, which obviously is a skin blemish disease which can reduce the marketable yield, particularly for prepacks and those who are selling to the ware market as opposed to crisping and chipping processing. So essentially, we would be applying water with that technique and then for yield as we go through the season. And by doing that, we would then maximize the benefits and reduce the costs, hopefully, avoiding excess applications when rain was expected. So it was all tied to the rain forecast as well, not to mention evapotranspiration, usage of water based on crop cover and a whole range of other factors. So at the end of the day, we were far more able to theoretically work out what we should be applying than we were able to deliver it using either booms or rain guns or occasionally other techniques. Now, trickle irrigation hadn't really come in much at that time. Trickle irrigation is something that a few people are able to do, but by the same token, although it does reduce water losses, particularly from evaporation on the surface, the reality is, of course, people have to take up the trickle tape at the end of the season. They've got a whole range of controls, and it's not that useful at the moment in terms of potato growing. So essentially, at the moment, we are just looking to improve the kit we've got. Now, one of my friends who's a potato farmer and onion farmer, he has taken up use of a system called Rain Dancer, which actually links to his mobile phone so that as and when a gun is reaching the end of its run, or if it breaks down, he can get a warning via a SIM card that's built into this software on the actual rain gun. And he will then be able to, as it were, go and rectify the problem or turn the machine around. And he says he sleeps far better at night as a result of having this type of kit on one of his rain guns. So that's the sort of thing that people are beginning to adopt. Over and beyond all that, of course, many people will be using tensiometers or other techniques linked to automatic weather stations so that they can customize what they do in a given field. So that's the name of the game, really, that you vary what you need according to the kit that you've got available and invest where it's due to do so. And later this year, there is a new grant scheme, which was the Countryside Productivity Scheme, which will be called the Farming Investment Fund, Equipment and Technology and Transformation. And as and when that is announced, which we hope will be not too distant future, with applications opening later in the year, then people should be able to look at that opportunity as to what is grantable. And 40% grants were available under the Countryside Productivity Scheme, and you can look those up on .gov.uk and see what was available previously. And then hopefully that will give you some header or heads up as to what you might expect in the new scheme. But I couldn't possibly predict what's going to be in the new scheme. other than it'll be something of an enhancement over beyond what we had already. So there will be new opportunities.
This is all very informative. Thank you ever so much, Nigel. I've just got one more question for you. What are your take-home messages to potato growers who wish to consider looking at catchment-sensitive farming as part of their programme in growing potatoes?
Well, certainly we can talk, and it can be a variety of things that are pertinent to the individual. We don't have a blueprint. We tend to tailor what we do to need and or what you'd like to achieve. So essentially, we will work with you to try to look at either tramline management, double headlands, trying to reduce runoff, whatever, through to things that are going to actually help you with your soil management and or to reduce losses in terms of fertilizers and ammonia. And that there is obviously use, or one can make use of things like the Manna NPK program, which you can download for Planet for Farmers website, and that will help quantify how you can minimize losses when spreading manures and similar, so that you don't end up with, as it were, losing something by leaching or by atmospheric volatilization, as it's called, losses of ammonia, because that could otherwise be of financial benefit to you to keep in the soil. Over and beyond that, we can potentially help people with, as I said earlier, machinery replacement. We've got specialist visits where an engineer can come out and help you with your choice of kit and matching kit and linking to precision farming, RTK farming, and auto steer tractors and so on, all with a view to actually matching kit to the need, so that you minimize the number of wings, minimize the rutting and or any other problems that you get.
Great, thank you very much. One last question for you. Have you seen an uptake in cover cropping over the last few years, and does it genuinely improve the soil structure when you're actually using it as part of an integrated program using irrigation?
Yes, since 2008, when it was proposed that cover crops be incorporated within the nitrate vulnerable zones approach, when that was not accepted as being something that was to be adopted at that time. Since then, with the emphasis on soil health, we have seen a massive increase in cover cropping. The fact that we now have countryside stewardship grants, the option SW6, which pays £114 per hectare to help people, as I said earlier, in NVZs or where there's an erosion risk, will hopefully help people, as it were, adopt cover cropping. If they look at focusing on what the roots of a cover crop can do and destroying the crop adequately and in sufficient time ahead of growing potatoes, then yes, it will improve soil structure markedly. It will make it more friable. Often you can find that a mix of varieties and or crops better than a single species. And by choosing species such as mustard, which can help reduce stem nematodes and sprang, then you can hopefully, you can reduce that. But if you, for example, have got bean stem nematode in the rotation, then vetches would be a better thing to incorporate than obviously beans in that mix. Then you will potentially see an improvement of the crop structure or the soil structure, and it will then pay dividends. As you go on doing this over years, then on your own land, particularly with muck as well, then you will see an increase in soil organic matter and hopefully a reduction in the costs of cultivation and an improvement in the timeliness of operations, reduction of damage at harvest, and you will see hopefully something that shows a return. And if you build up relationships long term with any people who rent land to you, then again they can potentially see the benefits of, as it were, working with you to adopt cover cropping, not just before potatoes but elsewhere in the rotation.
Have you ever come across erosion netting used as a mechanical barrier to stop diffuse pollution?
Yes, filter fences are certainly something that we have looked at. at a cost of roughly 89 pence per meter length of run, you can potentially store vast amounts of soil that otherwise would be lost to a field, which may mean that you then don't have to, as it were, dig it off the road or out of a watercourse or ditch. So soil to socks is another more expensive way of retaining both soil and or the nutrients and pesticides that otherwise might be contained within it. And they can also last for many years. So depending on the field and the situation, ideally you wouldn't be growing potatoes on great slopes. And by great, I mean anything over 5%. But by the same token, I know people do, particularly up in Shropshire and seed growing areas, etc., then certainly we have been able to stop vast amounts of soil being lost from fields. And one particular trial did look at this, and we saved 80 tons of soil from being lost to a watercourse by installation of the same. So essentially, it's your soil, you paid for it one way or another, and therefore everything you can do to keep it in the field and under your control is going to be better than letting it go somewhere else, I guess.
Well, thank you very much, Nigel. And that was the end of today's podcast. Thank you for listening to the AHDB Potatoes podcast today. For further information on irrigation and best practice, please refer to the AHDB website pages on irrigation.